This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matthew Staver, who is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He's also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. We want to get his insights on last Friday's decision by U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Crabb in Madison, Wisconsin, that declares the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. And Matt, it's great to have you with us.
It's good to be with you.
You and I have obviously talked about some controversial decisions related to religious liberty over the years. How surprised were you by this one?
Well, this is frankly ridiculous. If the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional, then the Constitution is unconstitutional, which makes no sense, and that's how I feel about this particular decision. The idea that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional is absolutely absurd. You have to be an activist judge to come to that conclusion. Certainly the Constitution nor court precedent compels that decision. In fact, if you go back to the history of America, the United States Supreme Court has ruled that prayer at legislative sessions is constitutional, and the reason why is that the very first Congress that adopted and put forth the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, also as their first legislative act, authorized prayer to open up every legislative session. And not only that, but authorized the chaplain to be paid by the federal treasury. So those who actually drafted the First Amendment would not at the same time commit an unconstitutional act such as having prayer before legislative events. And that's why the Supreme Court has said that prayer at legislative events are constitutional. In this particular case, the National Day of Prayer is essentially a resolution. It declares a day as a day of prayer. But we declare many other days as days of acknowledgement for many reasons. The government doesn't force you to pray, doesn't tell you how to pray or whether to even pray, doesn't make you participate in any doctrinal or religious exercise, and so therefore it has no coercive or forceful effect. It's simply, essentially, a proclamation, and anyone who participates does so voluntarily. To suggest that that's unconstitutional would essentially say that the Constitution itself is unconstitutional.
Matt, just to follow up on that point, I think you explained where you think the judge's ruling certainly is in error as you see it. She basically says that by this proclamation, you might not be forcing anyone to pray, but you definitely leave the impression that the government advocates prayer and therefore is puts people who don't believe in prayer or don't pray feeling that they're not part of the country.
Well, hurt feelings does not alone allow someone the right to pray. Or I should say the right to file a suit. Just because you have feelings against paying taxes doesn't mean that paying taxes itself is unconstitutional. Just because there's a dissenter out there somewhere doesn't mean that they have a right to override everyone else and literally rewrite American history and the Constitution. Just makes no sense. It's absurd. There's no question in my mind that when this case gets to a court of appeals, or particularly to the United States Supreme Court, if it goes that far, that this decision will be overturned. I think it's just a temporary blip on the radar screen, but I think it also underscores the reason why when we have justices to the United States Supreme Court or judges appointed in Washington, D.C., we need to make sure that they are umpires, as Chief Justice John Roberts described a judge's role. An umpire is simply calling balls or strikes as they come across the plate. An umpire is a passive, simple arbiter of what the law is, and does not try to throw the game or direct the game.
Matt, if the law and the Constitution, as you see it, certainly do not preclude the proclamation of a National Day of Prayer, why does decisions like this come down? Decisions like this, decisions like the Pledge of Allegiance case a few years ago, prayer in school, and so forth.
Well, I think the reason why is that judges that are on the bench, some of them, and many of them are doing a great job, but some of them don't respect the rule of law. They have to be restrained. They may have a certain political or ideological opinion, and they're entitled to that, just like every other American is, but they're not entitled to inject that into the court case. What they are required to do is to interpret the law and come to a conclusion, irrespective of what their particular bias is. And you have to ask yourself the question. We've had days of prayer from George Washington to the present. In fact, every president from George Washington until the current president, even though it was belated last year, have acknowledged a day of prayer. In fact, Washington began the tradition with having national days of fasting and prayer. That has been consistent. We've had thousands and thousands of judges on the federal bench, including the United States Supreme Court, and not once has that been ruled unconstitutional at a highest level of any court. So you have to ask yourself the question, if all this history is behind having a day of prayer and no one has considered it unconstitutional, we've had the same constitution since the beginning, how is it that one judge all of a sudden discovered that in the 21st century, that it's unconstitutional? What one judge did is simply deviate from the Constitution and from history and from court precedent, and that judge will ultimately be overturned on appeal.
Matt, you and I have obviously discussed this case. We've discussed a myriad of decisions related to marriage in different states around the country. Do you get the sense that we're going to be seeing more of these types of cases where judicial activism could perhaps infringe on the free expression of folks to practice their faith as they wish?
I think there's no question that we're going to see that, and the reason is because I know what law schools teach, and they don't teach the Constitution. It's like sending somebody to seminary but never reading the Bible and assuming that you're some Bible scholar at the end of that. You know, in law schools, the Constitution's never really discussed. In my constitutional law classes, I never had to read the Constitution, and that's the same it is in most schools, except for a few, and Liberty University School of Law is one such school. I think we need to get back to teaching the actual text, whether it's the Constitution or something else. I think if you just put it in the context of a contract, if you buy a house, you enter into a contract. You're the buyer, somebody else is the seller. If somebody else was able to come later and simply rewrite the terms of the contract, you would never enter into any kind of agreement. Yet the Constitution is a contract with the people. And judges are not free to simply change the terms of the Constitution. If the people want to change the terms of the Constitution, there's a way to do it, and that's through constitutional amendments. That's a very difficult process, as it should be. But a single judge sitting in the solitude of his or her chambers does not have the right to change the contract that the people have set forth for their form of government. And that's, in fact, what you have happen. I think we need to train judges to understand their role as judges. And when judges ultimately fall out of that role and they decide to become legislators as opposed to neutral arbiters of the law, whether it's the Constitution or a text of a statute, then the people ought to respond. And the people ought to do so by removing the judge, or certainly you can also have many other ways to stop this kind of judicial raw takeover of power, because it upsets the balance of the power and the people that the Constitution established.
Matt Staver is the chairman and founder of Liberty Counsel. He's also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.